I want to talk to you a little bit out of the Bible. How many of you got time to listen just a little bit? Okay, we got a few hands that went up. The others, if you would, just slip on out while we're talking and don't bother us and we'll be all right. Very seriously, we have people to come here that are, they're very diligent in their search for the Lord Jesus, and they're wanting to know what this thing is all about. They would like to understand how to serve God, and they are trying to obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. So that's why we take the time that we do to talk, a lot of times maybe just to encourage you. There's so many things that I need to talk with you about, and yet many of you are dull of hearing. You really are dull of hearing. I know that you don't realize that you're dull of hearing, but you know it's like an axe. It's kind of like using an axe, a dull axe. It doesn't mean you can't cut with it, but it's a problem. You use an axe, and it's dull. You just can't get very good service out of it. And it's the same way in talking with some of you. You listen, but you half listen. And you listen, but you listen with your human reasoning going like this all the time. And you really don't have any place for the Word of God to lodge. You listen, but your mind is all cluttered up. That's why the Bible said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This is why you stumble into the hurts that you do. And this is why you have the problems that you do. You have these problems and hurts because you half listen, you half understand, you half know what's going on. And when the testing time comes, you really don't understand. You know, they'll give you a driver's test. If you half study, you half pay attention. When you go to take your driving test, you fail. There's some people that'll take a driver's test and they'll fail over and over. They'll have to go half a dozen times. Other people go one time. They diligently listen and they study and they try to conceive of what they see there before them. And in doing that, just like that, right off, they learn, they receive their driver's license and that's it. See, you don't realize it, but you're dull of hearing. When you're half asleep on the bench, or you're half-heartedly listening, or you've just come really not to learn anything, but just to be in church, it's routine, you know, and you want to enjoy the singing, the hand clapping, and the music, and whatever. When you do that, see, you're dull of hearing. I will say something, but you won't conceive of it. You won't really get a hold of it. It'll just be something that you'll just kind of stagger at. The Bible says concerning Abraham that he was strong in faith. He never staggered at the promises of God, but he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Father Abraham. And we need to be strong in our efforts, diligent in prayer, fervent in spirit, serving God with gladness and with joy, with great concern and eager. You might say, well, I'm just so tired, I can't stay awake. Well, why not go home? I don't see any point in being in church if you can't stay awake. Now, you tell me, somebody just speak right up out of the audience and tell me, is there any need of being in church if you can't stay awake? What good is church to a man that's asleep? See, go home, get you some sleep. Next time you come back, you can stay awake. Or next time, be a little wiser and don't use up all your energy in the hog pens. And then when you come to the house of God, you'll have a little energy to learn about God. So, when you say hog pens, Jesus referred to them that are without as swine. They're swine, he said. When you go out there among them and you give yourself to that, then you're with the swine. You're eating the husk of the swine. It's real satisfying to the flesh. So then you are dull of hearing. God wants to speak to you. Job said many times God speaks to us. When deep sleep is upon us at home in our beds, sometimes he'll let us have a dream. And sometimes we'll be at home, we'll fall into a trance, meditating on the things of God. He'll let us see a vision. Many times he speaks to us, but Job said, we don't perceive, we don't conceive of what he's saying. So we don't perceive, we don't understand. We didn't give the morning's heed. We didn't diligently seek after God to listen. We're never filled with the things of God because we don't hunger and thirst after the things of God. We want to have dough. We want to fight. We want to frolic. We want the passions of the flesh. We want to get ourselves a reputation of being a bad boy, you know. We can handle this thing. And like I remember a friend of mine, I grew up with him. Mentioned this a time or two. Got in prison, shot the sheriff, done all kind of things. Just a young fella. Got out, and when he'd be at a beer joint, somebody rise up at him and he'd say, you don't know who I am. And he'd call his name. And he'd say, that's who I am. And he thought that was supposed to take care of it, you know. So we mess around with all this crazy doings and finally get ourselves killed. Something bad happens to us. We run after dope. And let me tell you something, folks. I said this to my wife today, and I want to say it to you. I was talking to Joe and some of them down there today. This thing about being addicted to dope and can't get off of it, there ain't nothing to that. Addicted to drink and can't get off of it. I grew up just like you grew up. I came up just like you come up. They had dope in our day, just like they got it in your day. They took it there then. They drank whiskey there then. They drank beer there then. They fought and cut each other with knives then. And it was a lot worse in places and times then than they are now. A lot of them just play silly games now, television games, you know, like cops and robbers. But back there, they wasn't playing games. A lot of times they slit a man's throat. He bled to death in a few minutes. They knifed him to death or they beat his eyes out or whatever. I mean, this was common where I was at. Might not have been where you were, but it was very common. All around my house, all back of the house, all around the house, everywhere, even down in the woods, just maybe a few steps away from the house, all around the house, fighting all around the house, all in the yards, shooting and knifing. It was just common. And they drank. They drank. I hear people talk about this man, he's stoned out and this person's drunk. Now I look at him and I think, my land, that ain't nothing. I've seen men when they were drunk. I'm talking about drunk, puking and fighting and knifing and drunk. And we talk about fighting now. A woman, she says a few words to her husband. He says a few words that we've been fighting. And I tell him, my land, you don't know what fighting is. You know, when you feel a big old burly hand up against your head from a man that's been following the plow stock for about 10 years and you find yourself laying over in the furrow bleeding. I've been hit when I'd be laying there bleeding, when the blood would be running out. You know, and then you know what fighting is. You know the difference between playing and fighting. And I've been hit when I thought my neck was broke. I've been hit that hard when I have to wait till I could get a hold of myself because I couldn't get control of my head. My neck. So I'm just saying that to say this. All this silly thing, they're letting the children run wild. The children's teeth are on edges because mom and daddies eat sour grapes. And there ain't nothing to that, folks. Women jumping up, men jumping up having tempers, going to jump out of the car. They've been doing that for years. That same old devil was back yonder when I was a boy. And I see all these things, and all that is a hobby horse of excuse. They do these things so they can get by, so that you won't say nothing to them. And if daddy says anything and mama says anything, they rise up and they, like somebody down here, I never forget it down here on the campground. One got old, supposed to be stoned out, and he was fierce, and he was bad. And I went down there to find out what was going on. He was jumping around like a banner rooster. Doing all kind of things, you know, and they'll kick at you and slap at you, you know, and go on and, I'm Satan, they'll say. And I just sat and almost giggled. Just laughed, you know, standing and look at her. I mean, it's really silly. No kidding, it's really silly. And he'll grab an iron bar and he wouldn't hit you with it for nothing. He'll draw back like he's in a ball game and going to hit you by the time he gets to your head. He taps you a little bit, you know, because he don't want to go to the electric chair, the penitentiary. He knows what he's doing. But he wants you to think he's bad. See, you don't have to do that, young folks. You don't have to do that. And you old folks don't have to do it either. You don't have to do it. I come up that way. God's my witness. I never turned a bottle to my lips to drink whiskey. Never. I was with the slop, the puke. I was with the fights. I was with all that. Somebody said, you were just strong in spirit. No, I was a little nervous, nothing. But I didn't turn the bottle up to drink whiskey. I never drank whiskey. I never turned the bottle up to drink beer. I never drank beer. Never drank it in my life. I never took dope in my life. Why was that? Because I didn't have to. When the boys wanted to go off to the ball game, they knew what they were doing when they planned the fight. These boys that drink and dope up like they do and do all these things, that's not something where they got swept off of their feet. That's something that they planned. They planned it that way. When they romp down on the motorcycle, you know, they want you to think they're tough and they don't know how to holler loud enough, so they roar on that motorcycle. Or they spin that wheel on that car and roar off, you know. All of them, then he come back, somebody say, he's tough. I know it's real comical, you know, and I know it's just the kids playing. I understand that. But I tell you what, you don't realize it, but those things can lead to some sad situations. It can lead to a billy stick of beating your brains out. It can lead to being shot down. It can lead you to imprisonment. It can take you to the electric chair. It can cause you to become a mental case. Just going along with those kind of things. So I'm just telling you before we read a little bit here that we as people, and especially the young folks, need to get a hold of themselves and stop this kind of thing. You need to stop that. It's true that you can get under the influence of drink and you can get under the influence of dope. That's true. But it is also true that you got your right mind before you get under it. That's why the judge don't have any pity when you come before him. He doesn't have any pity because he knows that you was in your right mind. You didn't have to do it. You didn't have to get under it to start with. Somebody said, well, I just can't help but sniff. I'm a sniffer. That's silly. That is so silly. You know, a man come up to me and tell me he just can't help. I can have respect for a man that's got a problem, you know. And I know that man's got a problem. But I'm talking about a real, genuine problem. Man just sniff. That man ain't got no problem. He's just downright foolish. He wants to do it. He knows what he's doing. He loves to do it. He goes to get it just like a man sucking on a cigarette. Somebody said, well, I just can't quit smoking, Brother Pike. I know you can't because you don't want to. You can't quit drinking because you don't want to. You can't quit sniffing because you don't want to. You can't quit dope because you don't want to. That's just the way it is, folks. Anytime you want to, you can do it. You can quit fighting. You can quit cursing. You can quit slapping your wife around. And she can quit hollering and screaming and pitching her fits. And you can set your house in order. I said, well, I don't believe I could set my house in order. Well, I remember God told a man, said, set your house in order, you're going to die. And he didn't have a bit of trouble. Not a bit of trouble. So, when the Lord makes it plain to you about what's fixing to happen to you, the Bible says that all that a man's got, he'll give for his life. Somebody said, well, take me, I'm tough, I don't mind dying. Well, that ain't what the devil told the Lord. He said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and whatever, said all that a man got, he'll give for his life. And he done been around. He knows the ropes pretty good. And when it comes right down to dying, you know, there's very few people that are willing to die, and that for a good man, as it was with Jesus, to lay down his life. Paul said one time, said, if I've done anything evil, I don't refuse to die, but I don't see any reason if you're taking my life if I ain't done nobody no wrong. So, you need to get a hold of yourself. This silly, silly generation, a sinful, adulterous generation. Do you know what a sinful generation is? One who knows right from wrong. This generation knows right from wrong. They are a sinful generation. It's not something they can't help. They do it knowing better than to do it. And that's what Jesus warned them about, saying, you do these things when you know better than to do them. Said, knowing the judgments of God that has come upon others that have done these things, he said, how shall ye escape? How can you escape the damnation of hell, he said. Knowing this, it's just a sinful generation. It's just downright rotten when people do things like that. I want to say one more time, I was a boy too. I come up as a boy too. When you look at me, I wasn't always this old. Brother Thomas, it was a time when you was just a little over 16, isn't that right? Did you ever know any bad things along then? I suppose that Brother Thomas probably could tell us some things that, as Job said, it'd about make the hair stand up on our arms. Even in things that he might have encountered as a preacher. You know, some of the preachers back there went through rougher things than you guys do. Hugging and kissing on each other, you know, and wrestling around with each other. All right. Yeah, it's sad, ain't it, that men hug and kiss on each other. But they do. Well, I tell you, some things come to my mind I don't even need to think about. All right, so then we're all folks and we all have problems. But let's do one thing, folks. Let's don't use a hobby horse of excuse saying that we can't help it. Don't never do that. And don't you ever pay any attention to any man that tells you that. I've been out on Skid Row in the state of Washington and different places where men were bad and men had problems. I'm talking about people were habitual drunkards. If they'd get a hold of themselves, they'd find Christ. And as the Bible said, through Christ, I can do all things that strengthen me. And they'd pull right out of those things and go right on. So there's always Christ, and you can come to him, and you know you can come to him if you will. I want to read just a little bit here. Like I said, my services are always open. They're there if you want to stand up and prove me wrong. You know, not just be an old devil, but stand up and show me scripturally where I'm wrong. Where these things, you know, folks can't help them and all these kind of things. All you got to do is stand up and do it. And if not, then you need to take these things home with you. Think them over. All right, we're going to read from the second chapter of the book of Romans, and it's really something here in that I don't choose what I read from. It always works out like this. He starts out saying, therefore, thou art inexcusable. Isn't that a text? Therefore, he says, thou art inexcusable. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doeth the same things, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent than instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature of it fulfill the law, judges thee by the letter, and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is he that is circumcision is outwardly in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. All right, Paul is speaking to his people here, and he goes on down to say, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, every way. Chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works. Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes. Of the Gentiles also, sin is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of man, of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed upon them also. And the father of circumcision, them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world is not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for that where no law is, there is no transgression. Wherefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We could go on here, read some things that would really be enlightening and stirring, but I was just going to exhort a little bit, so I read quite a bit of scripture. Maybe sometimes we'll get over to this following scripture here that really could be a benefit to us. In this scripture alone, I could preach all night long, because there's so many mysterious things that is hid within these promises. Even you to whom I preach many times, yet there's still many things here that you don't understand. And how little does those out there in the other churches and different parts of the world understand, in that many of these things have never been taught to them. And they are in a terrible circumstance when it comes to understanding. Now, I said a few things here before I read the scripture as to self-discipline. of having an interest in the things of God. I'm always exhorting you as to having an interest in the things of God. Because so few people, even religious people, really have an interest in heavenly things. They have an interest in going to heaven. They have an interest in having the blessings of God, being made rich. They have an interest in this, and the preachers are always preaching this. In the tent ministries and around the different parts of the world, they're always preaching the blessings of God. And they're preaching the things of God so that you can have the things of God. But they won't preach holiness. So the people really aren't getting anything. The preacher's getting it all. He's preaching faith, so not that you will have faith in God, but that you'll believe enough to give him your substance or give him your money. He gets you to feel that you're believing. So he said, well, you could just have millions of dollars. Give me that little old nothing that you have of a few thousand dollars. So he takes it and he walks off with it. And this is the way I'm telling you the truth. He preaches about the little widow and how that she's on starvation and how that she gave the last thing that she had to the great prophet, and now she just had plenty after that. So he says, give me all you've got because your cup's going to run over. And he knows he's leaving town the next day anyway. He'll be gone somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying? But the real genuine faith of God and the real genuine word of God, they've not been taught that. They've not been taught the word of God, so then they don't understand. They can't have the faith of God. See, they have no control over the spirit. They have no disciplinary way of life. Even as I mentioned to start with about the frivolous things that you encounter. A man, he gets drunk and he beats his little old wife and he knocks his little old children around. You know, and he feels big and bad. And that poor little old woman, she's beat, she's knocked around. And then she's going to leave him and he comes humbling down like a little old puppy, you know. Darling, honey, you know, I couldn't help myself and you realize, and you got to help me, I need help. So she tried to help him and he comes back drunk again and beats her up again. Until finally she just walks off and leaves him because she gets a little sense. And she realizes he don't have to do that. You understand what I'm saying? I said this long years ago. Grandpa didn't do grandma that way because sometimes she'd knock him clear over the bed. That's right. Them women poked the pot. They washed clothes and they done things and they picked cotton and pulled corn and plowed in the fields. And they'd just wind up and knock him slap over the bed. He'd be half drunk anyway. And when Grandpa come too, he didn't beat the little woman up. So that way, a lot of times them women have been known to go down to the poker games. I know this for true. I come up in that. Go down there by the poker game and grandpa but a shirt and drag him off or whatever, or get her a stick and break up the whole poker game. So that's the way it is. That's the way it should be when things like that happen. Men don't need to go on with these kind of things, with their evil, mean, cunning device, beating and knocking around, and women running off and leaving little children. Don't you know this is slap out of human reasoning? For a mother to run off and leave her little children, or for a daddy to dope himself up, or a mother to take dope and mess around with her little child and make kill that little child, or that little child makes. Like the other day, I heard about this case, mother messing around with dope, man messing around with a dope, and the little bitty girl was just 4 or 5 years old. I can't remember how old, not very old, wandered off and was taken and molested. Mother didn't even know where she was all night. Maybe she was a little older than that, I believe. But anyway, all night long, didn't know where she was. And the little thing left thrown out of the bushes somewhere. And then over in the morning somewhere, this little one had wandered out in the highway and some woman had seen the little child, went and got the little child and took the little child in. Don't you know that man wasn't good as a dog? Somebody said he couldn't help it because he's doped up. He wasn't good as a dog if he'd been undoped. So when men do these things and they're brutal and they beat their wife and they beat their little children and they let these little fellas just go any old way, they ain't good as a pig. An old sow's better than that. Somebody go, Brother Pike, I thank you too hard. I said, they ain't good as a sow. I'd rather have an old sow wallowing in the mire. She'll feed her little ones and watch after her little ones. I'd rather be friends to an old sow than be friends to somebody like that because they don't have the equality of a pig. So, maybe you think that's hard, but that's the way I feel about it. And I might as well let you know I feel that way about it. Because that's the way it is. You know, I feel that way about it because that's the way it is. Someone said, well, maybe it ain't that way. It's that way. So then, them men that do that, I don't have no respect for them. When somebody comes and tells me that they've done this and they couldn't help that, and they'll come whining around and say they got to have help, I think, yeah, back years ago they had a way of having help. They had some hooded men that would take them out and tie them to a tree, and they'd give them about a half a dozen lashings, and after that they just snapped out of it. They didn't have a bit of trouble. They didn't beat the little woman anymore, and everything was just as fine as it could be. They didn't need nothing. Somebody said, stick them behind bars. They didn't need to put them behind bars. When they got through with them, they knowed exactly what to do. Somebody said, it don't work. It works with children. And that's nothing but children of the world. Somebody said, well, God, don't do it that way. Well, why did he plant a whip and turn over the table? Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Israel got along so good with her people. Israel didn't take somebody and stick them in prison every time they'd done something wrong. You know what they'd done? They took them and run them by the whipping post. And when they got their whipping, wasn't no problem for them to straighten up. So then I'm saying that all of this is foolishness. This whole age is foolishness. This generation is a sinful, corrupt, adulterous, mean, ornery, low generation. And this generation has corrupted, the boys have corrupted the girls, and the girls have corrupted the boys until there is not a decent person hardly to get married to. And if a boy marries a girl, he's got to marry a girl that's corrupted herself with somebody else. If the girl marries the boy, she's got to marry a boy that's corrupted himself with somebody else. You can't find virgins anymore. You can't find ladies anymore, not even mothers. They sit under televisions and they fill their hearts with the dirty, filthy mess that comes over television. And you look around and say, well, who am I going to find, Brother Pike? Who am I going to find that's right? He said, none of them's good. All of them's gone. Every one of them's turned to their own way. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh is corrupted its way before God. So then it's a sad situation, but we have to live in it. We have to deal with it. And it's bad because you can't even have a wife anymore. You can't have a wife because the wife is running after another man or another man's running after the wife. You can't even have a home anymore. You can't have daughters anymore because some devil out yonder is molesting them or mistreating them. Or they're known to drop things in their drink. Maybe a decent girl. They've been known, people, to drop things in their drink, to get them beside themselves, to where that they can steal their virginity. To me, that's downright rotten. I said this, and every time I get on this subject, I tell you, I get a little bit strong. But I'm telling you something. I've heard men talk about, I can make any woman. I thought, you pig, you dog. Any dog can run after another dog, and any pig can run after another old sow. You know? You're talking about the woman being weak. And you go out there and you take advantage of her with your philosophy. And you press your way over her and take advantage of her. And I thought, how low and degraded you are. You know, to boast of such a thing. But you know, right now in the day we're living in, it's all in the reverse. It's all in the reverse. That's the way it used to be. But now it's like our telephone, it won't stop ringing. All day, all night. I can't pray at night. Somebody says, is Danny there? Somebody says, and it used to be the others before they got married. You know, is this one there? Is that one there? But not call the others. Someone's got wives now. But anyway, and they won't know if they're there. And I don't mean one call and two calls, but I mean, and even the grown women, the mothers, they do that and make preparations for the boys to come in their home and stay in their home night after night there with their daughters. Filthy, rotten, right here in Monroe, right around here, all around you. We have to put up with that on the telephone. You couldn't give me a telephone, I tell you, if it wasn't for the goodness of God. I just to do something for God. Down through the years, I wouldn't have a telephone. My wife knows this is the truth. All my life, I wouldn't have a telephone. And it's just since we've been here that we've got the telephone. I got it, as I said, so that she could communicate with her mother when the daddy died, because she was over yonder in Upson County. And my house has been just like he stuck TNT into it and blowed it apart. That's what good a telephone is, unless it's something dedicated to God. But today, the telephone now is just one of a thousand things. I'm telling you, this is a rotten generation. This is a sinful generation. This is an adulterous generation. This is a lying, cheating, swindling generation. This generation curseth mother and daddy. Stand up in daddy's face and talk to him like a dog. Daughters will stand up in mother's face and talk to her like a dog. Ain't got one lick of respect. See, years ago you didn't do that. If you'd have rose up in some of them daddy's faces years ago, daughter or son, he'd have slapped you down in the middle of the floor. I know that for sure. He'd have slapped you down in the middle of the floor. And when you come up, you'd have been saying yes sir and no sir. You'd have been saying yes sir and no sir. That's right. So it's just this foolish generation. This is the kind of generation we've got. And what makes it so bad? If the preacher preaches day and night to these kind of people, and they're still in that kind of condition, and some of them even worse. After they've gone to the house of God and heard the word of God, and this is what's going to bring the end of time. This is what's going to make God bring the curtains down on the last part of the drama. This is what's going to make God close the whole thing out, is because they have heard the gospel. They've heard the words of God. They've heard the ways of life. I'm not talking about people that's out yonder that don't know anything about God. I'm talking about people that know about God. I'm saying that these things happen in the church. These things happen in the homes of the righteous people, of people that are righteous. And still these things take place in their home. And there's people that are church people that are just churchy that's not righteous. And these things take place in their home. But in the homes of the righteous, these things take place. Somebody would say, well, bless God, they don't take place in the homes of the righteous. I know for sure that they take place in the homes of the righteous. They take place there. Not because the righteous allows it to be that way, but because their children, some of their children, are so dirty and degraded that they slip around and do these things. Folks, let me tell you, and you might not believe this, but there's a number of homes on the campground where these things take place. I don't mean hug and kiss. I'm talking about having affairs with each other. It's happened numbers of times, and it's happened with the people's children. People that's supposed to be godly, and people that's supposed to be righteous, and some of them are godly, and some of them are righteous. But the low-down evil doings of their children, or some people of their neighbors, undermining them, will still work this thing and do this degraded thing. So, when I sound a little bit beside myself, Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for Christ. This ought not to be. That's why that I speak so harsh. And I speak so strong. And Paul said, rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. It's the reason I sound so rude when I say these things. To think that these grown men, I can understand little boys and girls, but when grown men run around and beat up their companions and drink and curse and lay around and do the dirty, filthy things they do, and with one woman today and another man tomorrow, you know, it's so bad now. It's so horrible now. Everywhere. The entire generation. Sinful, ugly, degraded. Minds that's filled with corruption. Their minds are literally filled with corruption. All day long, the Bible said their mouths are filled with cursing and drinking and all of this dirty, filthy mess. And they'll come to church here and they'll join up with the church and they'll stay here for a little while and just long enough to get in with the church. And everybody gets their eyes on them and out they go again. And then they bring a reproach and they tear down and they do everything they can in messing up the house of God and the things of God. Dirty, evil, wretched, low down. Somebody said, how bad is it? God said, my tables are filled with vomit. He said, these people are vomit that I've spewed out of my mouth. All of my tables, he said, are filled with vomit. So then, folks, we need to get away from this standing at the door. Just standing at the door and not going in. And we need to come to the place that when these boys, whether it's your boy or my boy, whether it's your daughter or my daughter, when they start this hobby horse of excuse about they can't do this and they can't do that and they've got to have some help. You know what we need to do is let them know right straight that we don't believe that garbage. That we don't believe that. Something happened to me not too long ago, and some of them started telling me this and that. I said, it's a bunch of garbage. I don't want the mess. I said, you need to straighten up now. I said, you can straighten up if you want to. And I said, if you don't, I said, God's going to put you in the flames of hell. I said, he's going to set your fields on fire. Somebody said, you got to help them. That's the way to help them, is to cast the devil out of them. The Bible said, and God sent his word and cast the devil out. Somebody says, well, I know some that you can't cast the devil out. I know, because they won't come around. If they stayed around long enough, we'd cast the devil out of them. They won't stay around. The Bible said the wicked can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. They're not going to stay around long enough for me to cast the devil out of them. They're going to go. They're going to go, you know. And they'll come in and then they're gone again. But if they stay around, we'll cast the devil out of them. And I got through having a little talk, the devil left. I didn't have no problem with the individual. The devil was gone. What you need to do is to stand up with the word of God and stop this foolishness. I know of a household where the man and the wife, the whole family feared a young boy. And it practically wrecked her life. And even until today, it's still happening. Because the daddy and the mother was afraid of the boy. Don't get him upset, you know. Don't get sissy upset. Why, she'll just tear everything all to pieces. If you'll grab a good strop and start after sissy, she'll hit the yard just like that. And brother will too. You raise that strop up and brother will get out of the house. You say, you don't know. Oh yes, I've had first-hand experience. When Jesus reached back and got that whip and turned over a few tables, they got out of there. Because they knew he wasn't playing no games. He wasn't playing any games. Somebody said, well, he'd have never laid that lash on them. All down through the history of the Jews, they laid the lash on the back. And when Jesus reached and got that whip, they got out of there. When he turned over them tables, they knew that he meant business. And folks, let me tell you something. It's like I heard a man one time, his wife, she coming with all of this thing. She was going to be drinking and have her frolic in the house and her friends. And the man had done got a hold of something from God. And he reached back and he got his belt and he met her at the door and told her that was the end of the trail for that. And he said, if Jesus used the whip to keep his house clean, I'm fixing to use it to keep mine clean. And did you know she got straight right quick? Now, you say, do you recommend that, Brother Pike? Well, let me say it like this. I don't think you want me to say it. Maybe I better not say it. I don't know. But anyway, there's a way to do it right. There's a way to do it right. If you men and women, some of you, if you are not buckled down with me concerning the campground, to keep the stuff off of this campground that was coming on it, this place would have been a hog pen for sure. It's because I've had a few people that was willing to buckle down and a few people that stood with me when I said, we ain't going to have it, that today we have a clean campground. Somebody says, you don't have it. Yes, we do have it. Your daughter can walk across over here and she don't get molested from the time she goes over here to over here. On some campgrounds, they do. And when we come here, they tried to do that very thing right here. See, it is a true fact. We still have devils coming on here. And we still have careless mothers that don't know where little daughters are or sons or nobody else. And sooner or later, something bad's bound to happen to them. But folks, with your efforts and my efforts and us working together, I'll guarantee you that won't happen. Somebody said, well, it's just the day we're living in, Brother Pine. I'm just a nervous wreck because I'm afraid it's going to happen to mine at any time. If it happens to yours, it'll be for one reason, because yours wanted it to happen to them. So that's my daughter. I don't care. I don't care when it happens to them. They want it to happen to them. They make allowance for it. They give place to it. They go off. They get stubborn. They get rebellious. And naturally it happens to them. Because whereas there's a rebellious daughter out there, there's a rebellious devil and a son that's out there. And I know And I make allowance for some of these things, as to say that because of the adulterous way of life of a man being married one time and two times and three times, the children don't know where daddy is or mother is. And some of the parents that's double in double marriage, some of the mothers ain't got enough backbone to stand up against the foster dad when he starts beating and molesting in the homes. She'd rather be with that rotten thing than to have her children. Same way with the man. He'll let some old harlot beat and frail and run him off. And the little girl runs off and she's molested. She's caught out there in the world. I understand those kind of things. But folks, let me tell you something. When you're at a place like Bethlehem and you've got a good dad and a good mama, you got a good mother, you got a good father, and you here at Bethlehem with all the safety that you've got around you, and then you run off out there and you act like a pig and act like a dog and talk about your hard times and needing help and you just can't help yourself, don't you know that that is rotten in the sight of God? I said that's rotten in the sight of God. When a minister brought you up, when a deacon brought you up, when a dad that's a Christian brought you up, and then you go out there and do them rotten things, you are a disgrace to his name. Well, I guess that sounds a little hard, but that's the way it is, folks. That's the way it is. What we need to do is repent. Repent. You see, you've got something to repent over. You need to repent. You need to quit backbiting. You need to quit gossiping. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people of their transgressions. Show the house of Israel of their sins. For they approach unto me and they take delight in coming unto me, saying, we've not done anything wrong. What have we done? But yet you've sinned against God. You've sinned against God. I could take time tonight and bring out the other side of the picture. I read it to you. We could bring it out. Like I said, we don't have time to do that tonight. But we could bring it out. We brought it out numbers of times in the revelation of the Son of God. We could bring it out in Revelation. No problem for me to do it. But knowing that I'm limited as to the time I have to deal with you, I have to get around to these issues. And I have to say something about it. Because I see what you're doing. I was standing down there the other day. One of the girls walked across the campground. Had her dress height way up on her legs. She's called herself having on a long dress. She feels she's part of this. I spoke to somebody standing there that also saw it. I said, she's not part of this. I said, she may be here, because she don't live on the campground. But I said, she may be here, but she's not part of this. People that do those things, they're not part of this. You that try to slip in here and take a place among us to get into the musical side of it, here, as our musicians, or trying to get in here as to the preaching, or trying to get into the offices, and you do those things, and your children do those things. You're not part of this. You're not part of it. Don't fool yourself. You're not part of it. You may think you're part of it, and you may think it's all covered up, but God has a way of cutting you out. You are not part of it. You're not part of it. And you can be sure that Brother Pye is going to be praying that God will stick the firebrand to you. Because you are approached to us. When you do those things, don't you know that God will burn your fields? Let me tell you, if you're going to be out there in the world, be cold. Get on out there. Even though I tell you again, once you've known this, there's no way you can be cold. Hot or cold means that you don't know the right way. And grace is given to you in that you've not sinned. Because if you don't know the right way, then it's not required of you. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Doesn't matter if it's my children or your children, my sons or your sons, my daughters or your daughters, my relatives of your relatives. Doesn't make any difference. You can't sit around on the campground, as I said the other night, and watch these little video movies you got, whether it be of the Western movies or of the gangbusters or whatever, and come in here without having your heart full of slop. When you come in here, you're full of slop because that's slop. The Bible said the pigs are out there and that's the slop that they eat. And when you eat it and come in here, you are full of slop. And when you sit on my benches or sit in my services, then this is what causes the problem. Because you're not hungry and thirsting after the things of God. You're filled up with that the swine eat. And then you come in here and you're restless. You don't want anything from God. You're not hungry for things of God. You've been out there making money. You've been out there watching movies. You've been out there reading magazines of the world. You've been out there with the sports. You've been out there doing the gullible things of the flesh, laughing and joking and carrying on with the world. So when you come in here, you don't have any place for anything from God. Oh, Brother Pike, I thought, but now, at your age, you'd have done got all over this and you'd be sweetened and like honey now by this time. Well, nevertheless, this is the way it is. You know, even honey, there's bees to guard it. And if you mess around with them, you'll get stung. So then somebody would say, well, what do you think, Brother Pike? I think that there's none good. No, not one. All is gone astray. Every man has turned to his own way. Every man's run to his own house for his own gain. And there's none good, no, not one. And God has laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. And our justification is by Christ Jesus. It is by the righteousness of God. And if we are told the truth and we have not a love for the truth, then God will turn us over to reprobate mind, send us strong delusions, cause us to believe a lie, and be damned. You know the right way. I told you the right way. I've told you that you've got to be holy. You've got to be clean. No man is going to see God unless he's pure in heart. You can't frolic your life away and be part of the kingdom of God. You can't get into the kingdom of God and do the evil things that you're doing. And this generation, I warn you, because these tapes go out on the radio. These tapes go to all different parts of the world. And I warned you and I tell you again that it's a dirty, rotten, low-down generation. Sinful and adulterous. That can help but do what they're doing. They don't have to do the rotten things that they do. They don't have to do those things. And I'm telling you in the name of the Lord, we're coming to a place now to where God's going to burn your fields. Just throwing you in jail a little bit, that isn't going to be what it is. God's been merciful to you because you've been growing up. But God's going to burn your fields, and what he does to you, it would be a privilege to be in jail. To escape what he's going to do to you. That's why the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth, because they're going to be so bad that you're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on you. And you're going to beg for death, and death will flee from you. You're the ones that's going to do it. You're going to beg for death. It's going to be so bad. So I'm telling you, it's time to straighten up. It's time to quit playing in the church. It's time to stop this excuse as to running around with dope and all this other kind of thing and abusing the home and your privileges in God and abusing the things of God and reproaching the house of God. It's time you stopped it. It's time that you straighten up. Young lady, it's time you stop your rotten doings behind the closed doors. Your rotten thoughts behind the closed doors. And young man, it's time that you stop your filthy doings. And daddies and mothers, it's time that you got off of the sour grapes so that the children's teeth can get straightened out. You're the cause of it. When things happen, you're the cause of it. Either you wasn't watching them as you ought to watch them. Either you didn't give enough concern as to watching your children. The Bible said a child left to himself will bring shame. And either you left that child to itself too much, or either you didn't give it the right instructions, or there was something along the way that you're to blame for. You, mother and daddy, you're to blame. You're to blame for it. Like the song we wrote, you're to blame for it. You're to blame for it. So as long as you do these things and come to the house of God, you're not going to be able to praise God. And as long as you come to the house of God doing these things, the wrath of God is going to be upon you to the uttermost. How can you escape the damnation of hell, Jesus said, doing these things when you know that others have received the wrath of God for doing these things? There's no way you can escape. You are bound to be damned. So then, I say that to you and all that's looking, all that hears. If you cannot straighten up your crooked life, you're in trouble. The Bible said, make straight paths for yourself. Now, if a man could not straighten up his crooked life, why did God tell him that? If he's hooked on something and can't get loose from it? I don't read in the Bible nowhere in the past ages. All down through the times of Jesus and the prophets and Moses and whatever, they drank liquor and whiskey and all that kind of stuff back there. I don't read where they was ever hooked on anything and had to go to some kind of home to get off of it. I don't read where they had to go to the doctor to get off of it. Somebody says, well, what did God do to them? It's simple. If they didn't do right, he killed them. That took care of it. Stoned them to death. When the children were disobedient, it stoned them to death. Now, would God stone somebody to death that's hooked on something they couldn't get off of? Would that be fair? No. No, it's all just sin. That's all it adds up to. It's just sin and rottenness. And you're using an excuse for it, and you just don't want to be a real man. It's just like a man that won't pay his bills. There'll be a man over here, he'll pay his bills. He'll pay his bills. He'll use some kind of system of buying, selling, paying. Another man over here, he wouldn't pay. He wants to be pitied. He wouldn't pay. He's made five times as much as the other fellow over here, maybe that paid the bills. And he still didn't pay his bills. And he says, well, it's just, I couldn't, and all kind of excuses. One woman over here, she'll live and be a lady over here and keep herself for her husband's sake. Just for her husband's sake, not for God's sake. Just for her husband's sake. And the man over here, he'll keep himself just for his wife's sake. Not for God's sake. When I was out in the world, before I became a Christian, and I married in my young life, it was in my heart that I made it a practice to keep myself because of my wife's sake and expected the same of my wife. So you don't have to do those things. You do them because you want to do them. So then make straight paths for yourself, the Bible says. And if you could not have made straight paths, God would not have requested it of you. So you can do it. To repent, every one of you. He didn't say just repent to them that are not on dope, them that don't take whiskey. He said all of you repent. What I say to one, I say to all of you, repent. And when he said repent, that means you can repent. And when he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin and receive the infilling of the Spirit as to the Holy Ghost, that means that you can be baptized too. If you've got enough sense to repent and enough sense to be baptized, then you've got enough sense to keep your life straight. So it's just you. That's all it is. You. You keep playing with demons and giving yourself to devils. You do that is because you want to do it. You want to do it. I'm going to say this and try to close. I've had them to come to me, and I just believe in good old common sense. That's what my dad taught me. My dad used to say, son, don't go around places you ought not go around. He said, because if somebody does wrong and you're there with the crowd, they'll get you for it too. So I took my dad's advice. Very simple. But I have this a lot of times. Someone say, man, I'm on dope, Brother Pike. I just can't get off of dope. Man, I got to get my head straightened out, and I messed up with the dope. And I stand there and listen at him. No. And I think, lying, you liar. You're not messed up with dope. You're messed up with passion. You're a man, you're messed up with women. That's what's wrong with you. You know it ain't the dope. It's the women. You just take the dope and the drink to go along with it. That's all there is to it. Same way with women, messed up with men. Don't come here telling me you messed up with the dope. Why is it that you're wild with your passion? Why is it that God said you're an adulterous generation? He didn't say you was a dopey generation. He said you're an adulterous generation. What am I to do? Believe you or let every man be a liar and believe God? That's where your problem is. That's where your problem is. You don't want to live with your wife. You don't want to be decent. You want a half a dozen women to frolic with. That's what's wrong with you. You're taken with the devil of lust. That's what's wrong with you. The whole generation. Same way with the woman. The woman as to the man. Same way with the man as to the woman. All is the same. Well, anyway, maybe that sounds a little bit strong, but that's where it's all at. So if you want to get rid of your dope, just quit. Just quit. All right, let's stand together and let's sing a song. Let me tell you something, folks. You can pity people and tell people that they're hooked and can't get loose. They're hooked and can't get loose until you'll actually get them to believing that. And that's why it's like that now. The doctor says, your son is hooked. You need to give me about $10,000 so I can help you with him. That devil, that liar, that cheat. And you just foolish enough to go looking for the $10,000 to give it to him. What we need is the gospel. Somebody says, well, I've done it and it worked. You're lying. I don't know of any cases where it ever worked. Somebody said, well, I do. Well, I wish you'd tell me about one. I can't remember one of them where it ever worked. I remember giving the money, and I know the case afterwards, but I don't know of any of them that worked. The man got the money, but I'll tell you what, when the devil was cast out of a man or woman, I know where that worked. I know of men that's preachers. I know of women that's ladies. I mean ladies, because the devil was cast out of them, because it works. He sent his word and cast out the unclean spirits. So if I sound a little bit strong, I'm just letting you know that this is the way it is. A sinful, an adulterous generation. Maybe I could have said it a little more diplomatic-like, you know. I could approach the situation a little more diplomatic. Perhaps I could have, but I've been brought up in the country like John was. So all I know to do is say the axe is laid under the root of the tree, and every tree that brings forth corrupt fruit, God's going to cut it down. He's going to cut it down. So I'd set you over the nations to plant and to pluck up. It's dirty, folks. It's filthy. It's scummy. It's unclean. It's the sow wallowing in the mire, as Jesus said, and it's the dog lapping the vomit. And it's the tables of God that's filled with the vomit. So we need to clean up. We need to clean these things up. We need to be the right kind of people. And the quicker we do it, the better it's going to be for us. Little children, you that are little, that Brother Pike's little ones, you listen to me, you little girls. And you little boys, you usually listen to Brother Pike. You usually pay a lot of attention. You listen to Brother Pike. That ain't nothing about being hooked on nothing out there. That ain't nothing about being hooked on there. You stay away from the hog pens and you won't smell like a hog. You little ones, don't play in the hog trough, in the slop, and you won't smell sloppy. You do what's right. You think about Jesus. You come to church. You have the feeling that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you, and that you will be a real man and a real woman and grow up in a virtuous sort of a life, that you don't have to run out there, and that you don't go around being afraid, well, everybody else has fell into it, I'm going to fall into it too. Don't you do that. If you don't walk around the mire hole, you ain't going to slip into it. Stay away from it. It's true that if you walk around where somebody's poured out a bucket of grease, that there's a good possibility you're going to slip down. That makes good sense. But there's no reason for you to be out there walking in a place like that. You've got enough sense to stay off of a place like that. When it's icy, you have to be careful. In Alaska, not knowing that place, I stepped out up there. And I started to walk just like I did anywhere else. And zip, they caught me just in time. Because you don't do that up there like that. See, when you're in Alaska, you act like Alaskans act. So he said, well, what do you do? What did you do about that? I got out of Alaska. I got to where I could walk and not slip down. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, oh, my soul. Remember, folks, you can quit. There's hundreds and thousands of people that quit. They quit. They quit. How did they quit? Because you can quit. Thousands of others that died and went to the grave did not quit. Why? Because they didn't want to. They didn't want to. I'll never forget my grandpa. Never forget him. Drunk. One day drunk, I mean a great mighty man. But when he got drunk, he was just like any other drunkard. Drunk out on the porch of the old country home. And I saw grandpa was drunk. Sick like. I was trying to tell him, we was trying to tell him, Grandpa, we used to say puke it up. We didn't know about vomiting, Hadn't got that far along. But anyway, we'd say, do that, Grandpa. Say, puke up my whiskey? after he paid his money for it, he wasn't going to puke up his whiskey. You can't do much for a fellow like that, can you? But when my grandpa died, he wasn't drunk. He said, I was praying for him. He said, if God grants me life, he said, I'll be different. So I'll be in church from now on. But God didn't grant him life. That was the end of the trail for him. Whether he got right with God or not, only the Lord knows. I trust he did. So, folks, you can do it. Make up your mind that you can do it. 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 That's the way to think. Don't think negative. Don't think you can't do it. You can do it. You can do it. I told you about a woman that was a habitual drunkard. The doctor said she could not get off of it. She's hooked on it. She's an alcoholic. I said, anything to it. Been that way for years and years. Never had been able to get off of it, according to what she said. I prayed the prayer of faith, and she got off of it. Completely freed from it. Days went by, and weeks went by, and months went by. She continued to be free. No problem at all. And one day she had a fit of temper. And I saw it just before it happened. I saw the woman do it. Saw her do it in a vision. She had a fit of temper. And when she had the temper, she wanted to go back to her whiskey, back to her bottle. To use that for a hobby horse of excuse. And in the vision, I saw it. And I saw her do it. And I said to my wife, I said, she'll do it. I said, but I'll tell you something, she won't never be delivered again. Never. You know what happened to her? She never was delivered. She died a drunkard. She died a drunkard. When I say died a drunkard, I don't mean an alcoholic. She died a drunkard. She died with the drink in her. Drinking. All out of temper. She had a temper. Got upset with her companion. Had the temper. And she got upset with me in the vision because I wouldn't compromise in the vision with her filth. I refused to compromise with her filth in the vision. So she had a temper. So she died a drunkard. So you can quit. You can quit. God will help you if you want help. The only problem you're having is because you've been listening to the negative side of life. You've been listening to the devil that tells you you're hooked and you can't get loose. You've been listening to it. And as long as you listen to that, it's going to be like that. That's just like if I was standing here taking Brother Taylor's money away from him and I'd say, Brother Taylor, you can't help yourself. Just give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. As long as you listen to me, he wouldn't have no money. Isn't it right? But if he said, now wait a minute, if Dwight come up and said, now wait a minute, Brother Taylor, you don't have to give him your money. And Brother Taylor got to thinking on that. First thing he'd say, I ain't giving you my money. So he'd have some money, wouldn't he? He didn't have to do that. All he had to do was listen to the right voice. Listen to the right voice. As long as you do the way that you do, many of you are spending your money and throwing your money away. You don't have no system. You're throwing it to the wind. And as the Bible said, you're squandering your goods like the prodigal son. You're squandering it. You don't have to do that. You can have a system of life. You don't have to be gullible. You don't have to overindulge. The Bible says to be temperate in all things. You don't have to be lustful. You don't have to go after the things of the world. You don't have to have the love of the world. You don't have to fight, bite. You don't have to be a gossiper or a talebearer. You don't have to do those things. You do it because you want to do it. You do it because you listen to that negative voice. You listen to it, and then you wind up in that kind of condition. All right, let's sing again. The altars are open. Be a real woman. Be a real man. Somebody says, well, you're so far along, Brother Pike. You've got a lot of strength we don't have. The devil will overthrow me just like anybody else if I didn't follow Christ. I told you that I'd done these things before I ever come to God. Before I ever know God, I didn't drink. I didn't drink whiskey. I didn't take dope. I didn't drink beer. Can we sing again? God has made you to where you can if you want to. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger, on earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, on earth I ask to be like Him. The Bible said, ye shall know the truth. I spoke to you the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you have a love for the truth. If you don't have a love for the truth, God will let you go on believing those things as to a reprobate mind to be damned. And you'll be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world all your life. But if you'll listen to the truth and say, my God, that's the truth. I believe what the man said, I can do what I want to do. Then you'll be free from those things. It's like a man that gets up on Monday morning. He can't go to work just because he feels like going to work. He has to go to work because he's got bills to pay whether he feels like it or not. That's responsibility. These little ones that came to the altar, I watched the little ones come up here. Little old beauty fellas. My little ones. They come to the altar. You know why they come to the altar? Because they wanted to come to the altar. They like to come to the altar. They know it's altar. Some say, well, they just don't understand. Well, why didn't they come to the altar while I was preaching? Why do they wait till I give altar call? They know exactly what they're doing. And you tell me that little bitty folks like that, that have control over themselves and can come up to the altar, and here you are, a great big old burly looking fella, and you say, I just can't help it. I'm just a nervous wreck. Don't you know God ain't going to have nothing like that, folks? He ain't going to have nothing like that. And some of you women say, I just had to throw it at Him. Don't you know God ain't going to have that? God ain't going to have that. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger, on earth I long to be like Him. Journey from earth to glory, on earth I long just to be like Him. How many of you believe that through Christ that strengthens you, you can do all things? Can you go out and tell the world that through Christ that strengthens them, they can do all things? That's what preaching is all about. You know what's wrong with the world? Nothing's wrong with the world, except they're messed up in their minds. They've listened at the negative side of life until they're messed up in their minds. They've had people to suck them in and pull them in, like doctors and all kind of other people, and talking to them about these things concerning dope and the other things I'm speaking of, until they've been robbed. I mean, they've been robbed. The police rob them. You're the ones that set the law and order. You're the ones supposed to control it. But you don't. The government controls you, when you know that the government is the people. The people is the government. You're the ones that put them in office. Same way with police, local authorities, whatever. But you are under their control and you are a slave to them. And the police rob you by picking your boy up. All them devils is working together. One of them over here. And they're taken into captivity at the will of Satan. Over here. This is the sin over here. You can't help it. You just got to have the drink. And down here on the corner, this other one's got the bar open, saying, come on in, can't help it. I've got all you need. So you drink. Then you go outside. And the law says, I'll teach you. I'll put you in jail and get some more of your money. He said, don't work like that. Yes, it does. When I had a little problem up here in town, the judge was afraid of me. I could tell he was afraid of me. So he kept letting my boy off and letting my boy off. One day he got aggravated. Because the boy's going to do what they want to anyway. I don't care how many times you let them off. So he said to me, ought to get in your pocketbook. That's what I ought to do. I thought, yeah, the devil's wanting to get in the pocketbook. That's what he's all about to start with. But nevertheless, he didn't get in my pocketbook. And if he had, as I said, he'd been so disappointed if he'd looked in my pocketbook. But anyway, that's what they do. And like I told the police over here in Athens, they rough, like a dog barking and howling and going on and roughing the boys up and saying things to me. And I told them, I said, do you know what a problem is? I said, it's not what you're saying at all. I said, that's not what it is. I said, you blaming daddy and mother and the parents. Whereas I know there's a lot to be blamed there. But I said, that's not what it is. I said, you policemen run around here, gun on your side, badge and all these kind of things or whatever I said to them. I said, you run around here. I said, and you protect the liquor joints and the beer joints and everything else so that the boys can fall into the thing. And you wait until they go in there and then you run and grab them. I said, and you're the ones to blame. I said, because you protect them fellas down there. And you let them sell our children, this kind of stuff. I said, and then you jump up and go on and act up and say something against mother and daddies. He didn't like it. They didn't like it. There's a number of them. They didn't like it, but they had to listen at it anyway. But that's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. But there is something that we can do. Will there be school in the morning? All right. Can we sing together again, folks? Brother Pike's not trying to scold you. I don't want a bunch of cane heppets running around here. I want people that have a stability and a backbone and somebody that knows good and bad and that can say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Somebody said, that cigarette just gets a hold of me. I just can't keep it out of my mouth. Well, it's easy. If you ever get out of money and can't buy it, you'll be all right. Thing is, if you quit buying them, sticking them in your pocket, laying them around on the mantle, having them around in your house, you wouldn't have no problem keeping it out of your mouth. You want it. You know you want it. You want to suck on it. You know that. And you wouldn't have it no other way. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to go to hell for sucking on it. Somebody said, do you believe a little old cigarette with smoke coming out of it, Brother Pye, can send a man to hell? Do you? No. Now, I believe you could pile them up by the bushels and make them smoke, and it wouldn't bother a thing. But the devil that's got you, that you can't get loose from, that's causing you to run around after that thing to suck on it, to get a weed to suck on, that devil's got control of you, has defiled the temple of God, and God said he'd destroy it. I could drink a whole bottle of liquor. It wouldn't defile me. The Bible said there's nothing without a man that goeth into him that can defile him. You could drink all the beer you want to, all the liquor you want to. Of course, a Christian does drink all he wants to. He just don't want none. But the thing is, you drink all you want to, you know. Drink that. That doesn't defile you. But I tell you what, the devil that caused you to go after that strong drink when the Bible says not to mess with it, and the devil that gets a hold of you when that whiskey gets a hold of your nerves and causes you to get loose, will defile the temple and God will destroy you. So then we need to walk according to the Word of God and do right, folks. Can we sing another chorus? Send us some rain, Lord. Send us some rain, Lord. Send us some light rain. Send us some rain, Lord. Send us some rain, Lord. Send us your light rain. For there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in your latter rain. So we want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. We want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. Sing it with me. So send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Oh, stability's in the rain, Lord. Stability's in the rain, Lord. Stability in the latter rain. Stability in the rain, Lord. Stability in the rain, Lord. Stability in the latter. Would you like to be stable? Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. There's deliverance in the rain, Lord. Deliverance in the rain, Lord. Deliverance in the latter rain. Our deliverance in the rain, Lord. Deliverance in the rain, Lord. Deliverance in the latter rain. So send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the latter rain. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's goody. Can you sing that with me? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's goody. Enough for me, makes me love Everybody makes me love. Everybody and give me that old time. Give me that old time religion, cause it's good enough for me. It makes me sing when I get happy. It makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy, and it's good enough. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's pretty. Can you sing that with me? I want that old-time religion. Want that old-time religion. Want that old-time religion, cause it's... Sing it with me, folks. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Don't you want the old time religion? I want the old time religion like Jesus had. So give me that old, the kind that Paul had, Peter had, John had. Time religion. Give me that old time religion, for it's and it will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven, cause it's pretty. So give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, cause it's pretty. I've got that old-time religion. I've got that old-time religion. I've got that old-time religion, and it's goody. I've got that old-time religion. I've got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion, and it's... Sing it with me. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion, cause it's good. Better get that old-time religion. You better get that old-time religion. You better get old-time religion if you want to make it in with me. I've got that old-time religion. I got that old-time religion. I got that old-time religion, and it's... Can you sing one more time? I've got that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion, and it's good enough for me. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? I know that you're probably tired tonight. I realize that. Probably been a long day with you. But the thing is, if we've got this old-time religion that we're speaking of, then everybody else should have this old-time religion. Isn't that right? Everybody else ought to have it. A lot of people around the world that don't have it, and it's up to you and I to see that they do get it, because it's the only thing that's going to work. The only thing. I want you to lift your hands with me. Close your eyes. If you're here tonight, and if you haven't given your heart to God, if you've not acknowledged the Lord tonight, you've not made the great commitment, then I ask of you tonight to come to the altar. Come and surrender your heart to God. We sing that song so many times, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? They used to sing that so often. Why not tonight? So then tonight is a good time. Tonight is a good time. Why not tonight? Why not give your heart to God tonight? Why not make the commitment tonight? What are you waiting on? What is there out in the world other than death? Death. Everywhere there's death. Death, sorrow, heartaches, misery. You know what happens? You play around too long, and the first news you know, you have a nervous breakdown. I know, I've experienced numbers of these things. You play around in the world, and the first news you know, you're in prison. You've killed somebody, you've had a wreck, something's happened, they've got you for manslaughter. Something's happened, your life has been wrecked. First news you know, you'll have a mental collapse. And then after that, you know, it won't be any make-believe anymore. When you have a mental collapse, there won't be that make-believe of I can't help it. There won't be nothing you can do. You break down your mental faculties. You break down your nerve system. But let me tell you something, folks. Many people have been restored to the right way of life, to health, to happiness. They've been picked up out of the mental institutions, and today they're stable people, sound people. We have them here at Bethlehem. People who've had nervous breakdowns has come here to Bethlehem and got a rehabilitation and went away whole and healthy. You can have it. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be sick. Somebody says, well, you just can't help it. No, you don't have to be sick. You have to make an effort to be well. You have to have some system to your life. And another thing is you have to have faith in God. But every person has a right to faith in God. No one is denied that. The Bible said, he that is afflicted, let him mourn. If you are afflicted, mourn before God, that God might hear you and bring you a deliverance. For you don't have to be sick. I look out here before us and I see Brother Thomas, I see his companion, and this man preaching the gospel and all down through the years and still going. Talking to my mother-in-law today. She's about 86. Still agile, still going, coming to church with a regularity. Just laughing and talking with her daughter down there today and playing with the grandchildren. See, you don't have to be sick. You don't have to die a premature death. You don't have to just up and die. The Bible said the wicked shall not live their days half out. You shorten your days by your disobedience in many ways. One way by abusing your body. But you don't have to die. You don't have to die. You can live. God isn't wanting you to die. And God hath no pleasure in death. No pleasure in death. I thought about Brother Armstrong, about 90, I guess 5 or 6 years old. Was still on TV, carrying on his ministry, strong and healthy. Carrying on his ministry. Didn't need nobody to preach for him. He preached himself. Taught himself. Running his ministry himself. Traveling by air. Going to dignitaries across the different parts of the world himself. Meeting them. Talking with them. See, God don't want you to die. He don't want you to be sick. He don't want you to be in poverty. He loves you. When Brother Pike preaches so hard as it seems, I'm preaching against the wolf. I'm preaching against the evil. I'm preaching against the demons. I'm preaching against the devils, not against you. Jesus only said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, because he gave place to Satan. He numbered himself with the wrong spirit. But to the same Peter, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, when he said the right things and went the right way. So blessed are ye when you do the right thing. And another thing, blessed are ye when men say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. They do that of Bethlehem. They do that of Bethlehemites. They do that of Christians all over the world. But blessed are ye. The Bible said, be exceedingly glad, leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. Great is your reward. So then what are we waiting for? Don't you want eternal life? Don't you want to live forever? Don't you want to have the blessings of God upon you? Don't you want Brother Pike to bless you? Last night before I went into my house, there was just so many men that had gathered around. Some of them had been working out in the rain and cold, and they gathered around. Before I went in, I blessed them. Someone would say, "You can't do that." Oh, yes, I can. God told me I could do it. If God told me I could do it, who are you to tell me I can't do it? He said, "Whoever I bless would be blessed." And I blessed them. I blessed them. They were there with open hearts, longing for a blessing. Overseas sometimes, I've told you this over and over, I'll tell you again tonight, I've had them run many, many times, run after me and say, "Father, bless me. Please bless me, Father. Bless me." And we're fathers in the gospel. We have a right to bless. There's mothers in the gospel. There's fathers in the gospel. Paul said, "I've begotten you as a father. Though you have 10,000 instructors," he said, "you don't have but one father. I've begotten you as a father." So then, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. And I will bless you. And you will be blessed. But you got to be worthy of the blessing, not in the sense that you've done so good, but to the extent that you have allowed God to take control of your heart and you are willing as to submission to be His, altogether His, that you might be blessed. So then, before Jacob departed, he blessed his children. He blessed them. That was the way of their life. He blessed them, and they were blessed. And according to the blessing that he gave, as to the words he said, it happened. You can check history. It happened exactly that way. So, you that are daughters, sons, beware of what your mother and daddy says when they go to bless you or they get upset with you. Because if they're walking with God and their mind's in God, they're liable to say something, you'd be in bad trouble. So you be careful. While you're standing here tonight, I want to bless you. And we're going to pray a blessing on you. You have weaknesses, you have problems, not because you have to have weaknesses, not because you have to have problems, but because you allow for this, in that you're negligent, unconcerned, not diligent, not really buckling down to the things that you know to do that pleases God. And you give place to the wrong spirit, and because of that, you are abused and mistreated by the powers of evil that harass your mind and that afflict your body. God doesn't want it like that. He doesn't want it like that. He doesn't want you to be sad and oppressed, cast down, dreading death. Even if you're close to crossing over, He doesn't want you to dread death. Folks, let me ask you again. How can a Christian fear death when they're never going to die? How can they fear death when they're never going to die? A Christian can't die. How then can you fear death? Someone would say, "Well, Brother Pike, your words are consoling, but nevertheless, we close our eyes and they put us in a box so you know we're dead." No, no, I tell you again, that's not death when you are a Christian. It's absolutely not death. There is an eternity, a world of difference. How can you fear death when you're not going to die? The Bible speaks of the departure of Lazarus. And the Bible says that the angels came and carried him to Abraham's bosom. That don't sound like death to me. Someone would say, "Well, what is death?" The Bible said the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell and said, "I'm tormented in these flames." That's death. That's death. So tonight, let's have a pure heart. Let's have a clean heart. Let's pass from death unto life by faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't cast away your faith. It hath a great recompense and reward. So let's lift our hands up. Let's close our eyes. Let's acknowledge the Lord tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Thomas if he'll come up and dismiss us. Could you do that, brother? While our brother comes to dismiss us, as I said a little bit ago, he probably could tell us things that would stir our heart deep within. It's a privilege just to have him and his companion come. It's an encouragement just to have them here, knowing he and she at their age, and they're still going on with the Lord, which means that folks don't have to backslide. You don't have to throw your life away. These people haven't thrown their life away. They're still going on with God. That proves that you can do it. That proves that you can do it.